Welcome, everyone, to another fantastic episode of Flipside Focus, your home for all indie comics. I'm your host, the Random Dude Josh, and with me for this fantastic episode, the man, the myth, the legend, the crazy bastard I get to work for, none other than Al Mega himself. How you doing, brother?
Wepa, doing fantastic, man. Very happy to be back on Flipside Focus.
Ooh, the award-winning podcast, I might
add. Hell yeah. Best hosts for a comic book we actually may be talking about later on. Because now, you know, since we got the issue finally.
That's true. Very true. I do want to give a shout out to Parkway Avenue for letting us use their song as our intro and outro. Make sure to check them out on parkwayavenue.com. Pretty cool band. I like their stuff. So
they are. They're actually very gifted, talented, if you will. So you know, I see them growing to be a very successful group. Keep on rocking, brothers.
Yeah, check them out on YouTube, their website, parkwayavenue.com. Yeah, all good stuff. But let's go ahead and we're just going to jump in, talk about some indie comics. I guess before we do that, I do want to have a little follow-up conversation by Indie Comics Day. That was last week. Is it last week? Yeah, last week. And what a fantastic turnout that was.
It was. I mean, listen, I know you managed that account, and dude, you kicked major ass. You were sharing stuff that I was very glad to have seen, things I hadn't seen before, some creators I didn't know. So thank you. I think yourselves along, of course, with the whole Buy Indie Market, Indie Day Market, you know, killed it. You guys killed it. It was murder. It was wonderful.
You know, it was awesome to see, you know, states that were participating that were not on the map originally. I know that there was a number of shops like in California that were now participating. I know there was shops in Texas, like all over Canada, obviously Australia was participating, like all over. So how awesome to see all the impact that this has had on indie comics in general. I'm already looking forward to next year. So mark your calendars for 2020. We're going to be looking at August 1st, 8/1/2020, Buy Indie Comics Day. Start planning now.
And what's the best way to get fans and shops and creators involved?
So the best way, we've got a website up now, buyindiecomicsday.com. We're going to be building some features into that shop, or into that website. Ooh. That allows for creators to submit their stuff. So that's posted on the website, things like that. We're looking at providing like promotional materials, graphics, things like that for shops to be able to use to create events going into next year.
Fantastic. Send them my way. Cause luckily, you know, as I mentioned before, I have a multitude of shops within my given area. So within an hour's drive, no joke, we have at least 10 to 12 shops within, you know, like a 1 hour drive.
Yeah.
You know, any which way that you want to go, you run into a shop out here.
That's beautiful. Absolutely.
It is
beautiful.
It's wonderful. You know, and obviously my favorite, Robot Chicken Comics, shout out to Jay, because, you know, that has the more traditional feel of a shop. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's also Friendly Neighborhood Comics, shout out to Ernie, which has more of the modern look, you know, which includes the card gaming and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then, and that's kind of the split over here. So I would say four looks traditional and the rest are the more modern, you know, type of environment that has more of a collection of geeks and fandoms.
Yeah. Well, the other cool thing about Buy Indie Comics Day that kind of came to me one day, if you will, is the fact that if your shop is not participating or whatnot, you know, you can go in that day, go buy some books. And when they're, When they ask you, hey, what are you in for? What are you looking for? Oh, you know, I'm just here getting some books because it's Buy Indie Comics Day. What? What's that? You know, it sparks that conversation. If you don't have a comic book shop nearby, we have Kickstarter, the lifeblood of indie comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've spotlighted plenty of Kickstarter campaigns on this show. And so it only makes sense to support the Kickstarter realm as well on that day. In fact, there was actually one Kickstarter campaign that I believe within 36 hours of launching. So it actually launched on Buy Indie Comics Day and was fully funded, I want to say, within 36 hours.
Oh, nice, nice.
So
indeed, pretty cool. Fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, I know, like, Garrett Gunn's Warcorns, Combat Unicorns for Hire, that was fully funded in the first day.
Well, but that's double G right there. That's right.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a damn good book, and I sure as hell back that project.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely keeps creating some wonderful projects, and I can't wait to see what else he comes up with, along with his buddies. They do some great work.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And I can't wait to see something on TV from him. I want to see him do some crazy cartoon, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. All sorts of good things in the future for our good friend Garrett Gunn. But that being said, let's jump into the books we're going to talk about today. Now, I guess, Al, do you want to start with white or pink?
White, yeah.
Start with white?
Let's save the pink for later. Yeah.
Well, that being said, we'll jump into the first book we're going to talk about. This is called White Widow. And on initial glance, oh my hell, this book looks badass. I'm trying to pull this up, of course.
Well, the way that I kind of look at this character for me, the Widow herself, she looks like a cross of the anti-Venom character and White Tiger.
Yes.
If you look at her, right?
Absolutely.
But it's Major League level artwork on this. You know, Jamie Tindall, the creator, and he did several art pages on this. And then there's Benny R. Powell. He's the writer and co-creator. Then you have Yuan Nazif on pencils and inks. Fariza Kamaputra on colors. And Jenna Powers, the editor. And together, they produce one hell of a book from Absolute Comics Group.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree that the... You know, she does have that anti-Venom feel to her. Just so much more badass. Like, just from the that first page, that first splash page, you jump in and you're like, holy shit. As you said, the artwork is just spot on. And... to be honest, this is one I don't even necessarily want to talk about the story a whole lot because I want people to read this. Lately, I've become a big fan of comics that have females as your main character. Just something about it, that their personality, their determination, it stands out. I don't know if you feel the same, but I've noticed... female characters in comics are really stepping up to the plate. And really...
they definitely are. And that's across all realms of comic books. And it's good to see, finally, to get that diversity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, like any superhero-type book, you are going to get the kind of the duality that the character is going to have as far as their superhero... persona, and then their real life persona.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like James Tyndall did a fantastic job separating the two. Or excuse me, Jamie Tyndall. My apologies.
we murder names. That's what we do.
Exactly. But yeah, I just, what can I say? It's refreshing to have a new book that's just coming out of the gate swinging. And White Widow does that.
Yeah. It is. You know what she also reminds me of as I flip through the book? You remember that comic, The Darkness?
Mm-hmm.
She led the counter to him.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I know I've been very critical of just comics in general. Primarily more on Definitive Crusade, where I get very particular in the artwork as far as, you know, your not your splash pages, but all the other panels, where I feel like books are being, you know, the artwork is half-assed on the non-important.
Yeah.
And I say
they
that
don't
with
pay
air quotations.
To the detail to everything. I get that. I understand exactly where you're coming from on that.
Yeah. But this book, they, you know, these guys, they do just that. They pay attention to the details. They put their heart and soul into every single panel. So, you know, for 36 pages.
And if you notice, on the second, you know, they do have currently two issues out. On the second issue, they actually added a new colorist on it. And you could actually see that, you know, on the second, I see a lot of improvement from the first.
Yeah.
I don't know if you notice the same, especially with the characters we see come off on the second issue, where they're going to be villainesses or what, and more behind her costume and what that does.
Yeah. Well, and I like the fact that, you know, the main character is not your typical character. It's a minority as well.
Yes, thank you for that out there. It's not something we see too often, and especially being a lead. I mean, we're normally cast a second-tier character or part of an ensemble. But to see that the lead is, in fact, a minority female, thank you. It's awesome. I appreciate that.
So definitely one that everyone needs to pick up. If you love action, you're going to love this. If you love strong female characters that kick ass and take names, you're going to love White Widow.
And there's something. They do kind of a throwback to The Watchmen when they do that New York Times printout in the second issue. Mm-hmm. If you've noticed that.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. They took a page out of that, and the artwork just within those pages, almost like Alex Rossi.
Yeah.
Right? With how she looks. That looks fantastic. I need to see some covers like that, too.
I would love to just have copies of those newspapers, like, framed.
Yeah, that would be cool, right? The as an art page.
Yeah. Yeah, printed out on actual, like, the newspaper paper.
On the paper.
On the paper. But, yeah, I'm hooked. So, Jamie, I tip my hat to you. Great job. I look forward to reading more of White Widow. And
yeah,
to everyone listening, pick it up.
I've seen announcements for the next few issues as well. So, yeah, man, people are going to be definitely in for a hell of a ride, especially as we keep meeting the ensemble cast of heroes and villains.
Love it.
Yeah, man. That's indie, man. You know, when they say they're absolute comic books, they're absolutely good.
Oh, love it. Well, moving from strong female characters that kick ass and take names, we'll jump into one of our personal favorites, and has been for 3 years now. If you think about it.
Yeah. We've been on the journey with him.
Yes, we have. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, you're going to know here shortly and you'll remember. This is none other than Morgan's Organs 3. The Kickstarter was successful. And in fact, even a number of stretch goals were even reached on this Kickstarter.
And well deserved that, because Daniel Brody has done it again.
Oh, yes. So, Morgan's Organs, written by none other than our good pal, Daniel Brody, with art by Robert is Gen X? Yeah.
Again, we murder names. Sorry, guys.
Yes, yes, we do. That is just our MO, and if you don't like it, well, we're sorry.
They're going to change the name from Flipside Focus to fucking Flippers. They're going to murder us for this.
No, no, they won't murder us. They'll just look at this and they'll listen and go, oh, damn it, you two. But they still love us and we love them. So, you know, we'll leave it at that.
And let's all love, and hopefully I get to see my idea in print one day that we spoke about last show.
Oh, yeah, that was a fantastic idea, by the way. Little bit. So if you've never heard about Morgan's Organs first.
How dare you?
Exactly. How dare you? But the premise of the book, you take Pixar's Inside Out, but it's for grown-ups. And instead of it being emotions, it is your organs. They have different personalities. They interact with each other. And poor Morgan is just the vessel, if you will, in this shit show of shenanigans. God, that was a good segue. I like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. It definitely was a shit show because the poor guy. The poor guy.
So the premise of this story, it's Morgan's birthday. He gets a little hammered.
A little.
Well, I was trying to be modest here. But the... Bran the Brain wakes up. He has no recollection of what happens. He goes to his computer. All the files are corrupted. He cannot recall what happens. And he wakes up to find that there are a plethora, and I mean a plethora, of dicks drawn on the walls. And he is on a mission to find out who drew all the bloody dicks. Right out of the gate, there... This is one of those books that Daniel Brody has worked in dick jokes like nobody's business. How's the best way to put it? I was going to say it may be hard for some to grasp, but, you know.
But no tweezers needed for this one.
No, definitely not. You could definitely put this one in the palm of your hand to enjoy.
Pepe is a scumbag. Please don't ever let Pepe take over your body, guys. Pepe will only get you into trouble.
So, for listeners who don't know who Pepe is,
Pepe the Pecker.
So, as Al has mentioned, Pepe the Pecker, he is a penis. He is Morgan's penis, straight up.
Yeah, balls out and all, just walking around.
You've got Bran the Brain. He is the the brain, of course. Some of the other characters within this myriad of characters, if you will. You've got Hugo the Heart, Lou the Lungs, which in this particular book, Lou was absolutely hilarious.
Right?
Bran is getting pissed that everybody got drunk, and Lou was like, whatever, they got drunk. Can't really stop it. Meats is the stomach. Andy, the appendix. Poor Andy. He looks, frail as shit. But with how much booze Morgan drank, it makes sense. Angus the anus, that shithead.
What an asshole, man.
You got Kurt and Carl the kidneys. Those two were funny because they're twins. And, of course, you have two kidneys, typically. I realize that not always the same for everyone, but hey-ho. And just each one of these characters... Daniel Brody does a great job creating their own personalities, their own take on life, if you will. And their functions really kind of dictate what they do and don't do.
And this book is just hilariously insane. at the same time, all the stuff you see going on in here, holy smokes. You listen, I think many people will be able to relate to Morgan and the feelings that the organs undertake here. Because I know I've been in those situations, you know. I've had those missing files before.
Yeah, it's...
you have no idea.
You know, I may not have had the missing files, but I know the roller coaster my stomach has gone through sometimes. Oh, God.
See, my favorite, because I always think about this. New Year's party, I was dressed up, blazer, nice jeans, shoes, you know, button down. I woke up the next morning wearing a completely different outfit, but yet don't remember changing. So, yeah.
Wow.
I woke up, I looked at myself, I'm like, I wasn't wearing this shit. What the hell's going on? So, Morgan, I've been there with you, buddy.
So, that explains why the green thong became a thing for you.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I have it on reserve here for whenever our boy returns. I'm going to slingshot his ass into a show. What's going on here?
Just make sure to wash it so he doesn't see all the skid marks.
No. That's part of the punishment. Leave it dirty.
Oh.
You know what? Even before giving it to him, if you remember Rikishi from back in the days in wrestling, let him wear it for a little while and sweat in it, and then give it to him.
Oh, God. No. That is 50 shades of no.
Why not? Come on.
Well, one, I mean, between all the butt sweat there, then you got Vince McMahon's ass, or his face has been in there, along with everybody else.
Because his face always looks like something stinks anyway. So I think he got that smell just stuck right under his nose, poor guy.
I don't really feel too bad. I mean, he's making billions. I'm not... worried.
Is he really, with all the new competition coming up? And I know that should be another podcast there, a wrestling one, if you will, but there's a lot of good competition coming out there, so Vince better watch out.
It's true. AEW is rocking it, but as you said, we'll save that for another show.
Yeah, even though that is an independent wrestling.
Ooh.
Working in indie every which way we can. Indie music, indie wrestling, indie comics, and more indie comics. But if you were to rate Morgan's organs, Josh, what would you rate it?
Well,
what?
I actually rated it on ComicCrusaders.com a 5 out of 5.
Ooh, well, that review is going to have to go live on Monday for everybody to see.
Absolutely, because every part of the story, I was glued to every page. Because in all reality, I wanted to know who drew all the dicks on the wall. And I'll admit, even having us interviewed Daniel Brody, he never led on to who it was.
Never.
About halfway through the book, I thought I was absolutely sure I had figured it out. And I was so wrong when I got to the end. And it was the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah.
To read a book thinking I had it figured out, and nope, definitely did not.
That's what you call good storytelling.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm telling you, man, this has to be a darn cartoon on Adult Swim or an animated film. Something's got to pop with this. Because this is so funny, and it's just great, and everyone could enjoy this.
You know, with the way that technology is nowadays, it could honestly be put up on YouTube and would honestly catch fire that way.
True.
Animate it, put it up on there, and then you're not bound by the powers that be of a studio.
Yep. True. Your product is still your product, if you will. Unless YouTube has something to say like they did with us, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother episode of Hammered Heroes later.
Oh, God. Please don't ask me about them.
But definitely one I would agree is it needs to be animated. And Daniel even alluded to that when we talked to him on this show, in that he originally tried for that. And to be honest, I'm very happy to see that it took the route of a comic book first, for that to become kind of the avenue. And now that there's an established base, if you will, then it opens up the door for more potentials or more possibilities later.
True. Very true. And I hope it does happen a lot sooner than later, because I think the world needs to see this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about this book.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
For the last 3 years. I mean, from the initial Kickstarter of book one. So it should be of no surprise to our listeners that we love this book. So, yes, Morgan's Organs, book three. Definitely make sure when it's available. I know they're shipping those out to backers now, because I should actually be getting mine here soon.
And me too!
I know!
You see, folks, we don't just talk about the books we put up, too.
And actually, believe. If you guys look on the backers list, you may actually see my name in there.
Oh, shit. Wait, will it be Josh? Will it be the random dude? Will it be the random comic collector?
It's the random dude, Josh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That was actually pretty cool for me to see.
See, that's cool. That's a wrestling name right there, RDJ.
Yeah, but then people would be like, oh, well, that's Robert Downey Jr. And, well, he has a lot more money and a lot more attorneys that could get after me for using that, so...
Oh, and hair.
Oh, you asshole.
Don't worry, I'm going to ask him to shave his head and donate some.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
The random dude hair fund. Email the audio guy. He'll give you the address to send it.
That fucking audio guy.
He's the one that told me. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I'll make sure to have some words with him. On that note, I know you've had a chance to kind of process what happened, but how was your trip to San Diego?
Oh, man.
Let's talk about that for a hot minute.
Dude.
I know you had mentioned a little bit to me, but you hadn't really gone into the grand scale.
Dude, this is the Mecca. When people said that before, I'm like, the Mecca, really? Okay, we got big shows too. No, we don't. This is the show. I mean, for people that have gone maybe to PAX East, it's basically that whole building and another half, plus the harbor. Then they shut down downtown, a whole area of downtown. So you don't even need a pass to San Diego to be able to participate in San Diego. You understand? Because what they do, a block party. You have restaurants, bars, shops, everything. I mean, the whole downtown area, I'm not talking one block. I'm talking several blocks. They all partake in this celebration of fandom. Hardcore. And what was wonderful, everybody was safe, having fun. There was no beef, no drama. It was all love. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And then you would see, I saw so many actors and actresses, but my ass is horrible with names. So I just kept pointing to him, like, oh my God, I know from somewhere. And, you know, he himself was tired because we had quite the ordeal of a 50-hour, staying awake. And that's a whole other story. but yeah, we couldn't remember people's names, so we felt embarrassed. How could you go out to somebody with their character name? You know, it's kind of disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But you know, we saw that they were just there mingling. They're all fans too. And seriously, this is the bucket list show. You have to do this show. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough time in the day. And I think that Thursday through Sunday, I think we need the whole week to enjoy the show. It needs to be even bigger, honest to God. Because if you look at the panel list, Josh, there must have been 20 panels going on at the same time, whether it's in Hotel A or Hotel B or Conference Room A in the place or someplace else, you know, some off show grounds. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You will get tired. So wear comfy shoes. Have plenty of fluids. And I'll say this. You know how a show on a Saturday normally is very full, mm-hmm. that you could hardly walk? Wow. Because of Hall H that fit over 7,000 people, that show floor was still packed, but it was spacious. You had elbow room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was great with that aspect. But to think that it still looked insanely packed and there was still 7,000 people waiting all day in one room. A shout out to my boy Clep from Critics because he stood in that room. He got there on that Saturday and he goes, I am not moving from this effing spot. He stood there for 12 hours.
Oh, God.
12 hours he did it. And while I was on the show floor, you know, hooking up with our friends over at Impact Theory, shout out to Tom Bilyeu and, you know, that's Steve Aoki's crew over there with the Neon Future comic. So mm-hmm. shout out to them and for the amazing after party. Dude, the after party that Impact Theory invited us to was awesome. Great music, great people. I had my Batman suit. I didn't even have a chance to say hello to him. He turned around, not realizing where I was yet. Oh, man, that suit, dude, that suit. I thought he was going to just rip it off me and sign. Then I go, hey, you quoted us on your covers. He goes, Alex from Comic Crusaders, right there. Dude, that I really felt proud of. Because obviously, because it is an Impact Theory party, they had, you know, they were showing film, you know, of their covers and like mm-hmm. motion. And it was beautiful to see each one of the covers that we got quoted on, plastered on this huge wall.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, you know, it was a proud moment. Like, yeah, that's me right there, you know? So that felt great. And, you know, talk about a nice after party. I mean, full open bar with food being served. No cost to you. This is a thank you for being supportive. You know what I mean? Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And just the panels I got to go to, the Seis Manos panel, you know, which is the new Netflix Latino-type anime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have Latin-based characters in an anime-type of film, you know, show. Horror-based, you know, there I got to meet Danny Trejo, obviously Machete, you know, mm-hmm. Mike Kotor, a.k.a. Luke Cage, and several other actors from there. The Boys, if you saw that amazing Amazon program, I actually had the pleasure of hanging out in a press panel with the whole cast. They were insanely funny and cool. Obviously, you know, talking about funny, you know, Practical Jokers.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have any luck there, Josh. I don't think I'm ever going to get them all together at once. When I was at New York Comic Con, Joe wasn't there. I go to San Diego. This time, Sal's not there. You know, and I think I got Murr upset at us, if you believe it.
Oh, boy.
Because if you remember, there was a punishment where they laid out spiders on Brian, and he has a phobia, mm-hmm. and he swore he was going to get revenge. And thus far, he's gotten revenge on Sal. And Joe, and I asked him, have you gotten revenge? So he's explaining the revenge he's gotten so far. And then he realized he didn't get Murr yet.
Oh, boy.
He goes, you just reminded me. You had to see the look that Murr gave me. Like, you motherfucker, you fucked it up. So, yeah, so the next horrible punishment that Brian gets to give out to Murr. Yes, you're welcome, Murr. Comic Crusaders, Al Mega. Toma. Even though, yeah, one of my favorite punishments was the vampire in the church. It's one of my favorite punishments I ever saw. It was hilarious as hell.
Yeah.
Going back to SDCC, again, it's just an amazing show. We got to meet I got to meet one of our good Twitter friends. Is always very supportive of all our brands, you know, Comic Crusaders on the cover capes, James Gavsey from the Who Would Win.
Really?
Podcast. Yeah, got to meet him, man. Awesome dude in person. Shout out to James. He's going to change the way that the podcast game is. So, you know, stay tuned for that. You know, big things coming. Big things coming from him.
You know, speaking of big things coming, I want to, because I feel that this falls in line with the indie line. We got some big things coming up with UCPN, now that I think about it.
Oh yeah.
Let's just say, if you are a fan of the TV show Supernatural, the final season 15, is coming up this October. But we will be having a new show that spotlights not only Supernatural, but everything associated with that. So make sure to stay tuned to that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and what's wonderful, which I'm really proud of as well, is that we have expanded our family this way. Because it's going to be new voices.
Oh,
and, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, absolutely. And you are going to love the energy these two bring. Their sass. It is... it's going to be fantastic. So
yeah, I can't wait. I really am looking forward to that, you know, and learn a lot about Supernatural and see if they could actually hook me. Because I'm an on and off viewer, you know what I mean? I'm not hooked on too many shows because of our modern ways of sitting down and watching 8 hours of a show and getting done with it.
Yeah, and the fact that they've already got 14 seasons, 20 plus episodes per season. That's a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, well, you're definitely gonna come out with some heavy ass hemorrhoids after if you binge that. Get those donuts ready, guys.
Oh yes, very much so. Well, that's great. I'm glad that you had a great time at San Diego.
And wait, let me just say thank you first to one of our family members, Buddy Young, who actually was the one that pushed over the GoFundMe to get my ass over there. You know, I didn't think I was going to go. And Bud, dude, thank you so much. You know, and everybody's pitched in. I even have friends and family pitching as well. So thank you all for making this dream come true. You know, my fellow crusaders like Dr. James, Pat Peterson, you know, pitched in. And he said he pitched in because you got to go, bro. You're the face of Comic Crew. So thank you for believing in me and in Comic Crew and for getting our ass over there. And I hope you like a lot of the content I put out. I still have some B-roll footage I got to go through. So there's still more stuff coming for you guys to take a look at from our experience.
Awesome. And, you know, I definitely enjoyed finally getting to meet you in person.
Oh, and that was a dope. And my layover, that happened to be in Utah. People thought we planned this shit.
No, definitely wasn't planned.
Our wives thought, are you planning something over there? No, it just happened to be, and I had the fantastic opportunity of meeting the random dude himself in person. You know, great energy in person, bro. It was really an honor and a pleasure to meet my brother from another mother, and for you showing us a little bit of that downtown over there, even though we had to face the ordeal that we did afterwards. But you know what? We still made it. And that burger was fire.
Oof. Thank you. So the place that he's talking about, we went to Apollo Burgers. So if you're ever in Utah, check them out. No, yeah. They did not pay me to endorse their shit. Their shit's just that good.
It was. And it's a nice size burger, too. And then fries are fire, too. I'm a fan. I definitely want to, when I go revisit you over there, we need to hit that spot again.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll go very hungry next time, trust me.
Well, hopefully things work out and I'll be able to hang out with you guys in Rhode Island
this November. Oh, man, yes. You know, part of announcements, yeah. You know, Rhode Island Comic Con, Ultra Variety, shout out. We're definitely going to be working very closely with them this year. We're going to be able to have access to a lot of awesome content and creators to share with everyone. So I can't wait to have this experience. We're even going to have another booth this year, you know, and we're going to do it a little bit differently with some live interviews and all on a live stream. Mm-hmm. And if the random dude is there, you're going to see him doing his thing live, raw and uncut.
Oof.
On a multitude of streaming platforms.
I'm just excited. to be honest, I've never been to Rhode Island, so it'll be a new experience for me. And to be, you know, at a show with you, that'll be fun as well. So...
You're gonna see the work that I do. Get ready to walk, man. Bring your walking shoes, bro. I don't stay still.
Oh, you haven't seen me at a show, so.
Oh, this is gonna be great. I need somebody to match my energy, cause Bud, I love you, but you know, he always says, all right, I think it's time. It's table time for me. So that's why I leave him to do all these awesome interviews he does at the table. You know what I mean? And Mike, the 13th Crusader, shout out to him as well, and his birthday that just passed. You know, many more, my brother. You got to give him a beer or two for him to rev up his engine, if you will. And then he starts, he'll talk to everybody in the world. But me, I need no liquor to start talking, which is great. People don't understand how I do that because I'm normally not like that. But, you know, when I'm at a convention, I'm no longer Alexander Perez. I am Al fucking Mega, the CEO of Comic Crusaders, and we're here to make our presence known and kick some ass.
Absolutely. He's not lying. I've seen it in person. And we weren't even at a show. That was just during a 3-hour layover.
But. Yeah, man. It's energy. We got to have it, man. You know, it's fantastic. We're blessed. We're having such great listeners and people that come back to our shows. So thank you guys for listening. And I hope you enjoy what we're doing. And if you feel that we need to talk about something in specific, hey, shoot us a message, whether on Facebook, Twitter, you know, even our website, contact us. You will be replied to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my friend, this has been fun.
Yeah, it was nice to hang out with you, man, again. And I can't wait to hopefully next time we get the Dodge Meister on. You know, or if not, you're going to get that dirty green, brother.
You're going to go all Savage Dragon on him, and it is not the comic that we're referring to.
Man, it's going to be the shittiest time of his life.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. All right.
Well, we'll wrap it up for this episode of Flipside Focus. Make sure to check out all of our shows on undercovercapes.com. We got Definitive Crusade, No Prize Podcast, The Capes. Let's see, your show. The Amp. We've got OTP. I mean, we've got a plethora. I mean, even the Random Dad Chronicles, you thought I was going to miss that one.
And we even have one new show. You know, they're 2 episodes in, and that third one is going to be recorded next week. We're talking about K-pop, so we even got some music.
Oh, yeah, K-pop Cosmos. Music fan.
Yeah, shout out to Freya. She's doing a hell of a job as the hostess with the mostest right there, joined by her partner, Tracy. And in the next episode, we hope to have one of our friends from the Soul Wizard podcast, you know, join because he is a huge K-pop fan. And says that he is surrounded by men that hate that music, and he is finally happy to have a home where he could discuss it.
You know, having listened to the first 2 episodes, I'm kind of starting to dabble into it. That is a talented group of artists.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, they do their thing. You know, music is universal, and anything that helps connect people of all different kinds, you know, to something and create this one a good fandom. Mm-hmm. Yo, man, I'm all for anything that makes people connect, dude. And that's what we want to be. You know, that's what we're about, connections and connecting and making sure we have something for everyone. So, again, if you feel there's a show that we need or something we're not talking about, let us know. Don't tell the audio guy, though, because he's an asshole.
Yes. Yes, he is. And if people haven't figured that out by now, yeah, he's going to kick my ass later. I already know. Ugh. Oh, well. I'll deal with him. So, but that being said, thank you guys for listening in. And as I said, make sure to check us out on undercovercapes.com. And we will catch you guys later.
On the flip side.